While they go, take in the 12th chapter, we're studying this section right here. We're talking about being focused, and we're talking about keeping our focus where it needs to be. We're in a series that is titled Focus, and it's come from this phrase in Hebrews chapter 12 especially. And the phrase is, fix your eyes on Jesus. When we grow weary, when we lose heart, we feel like quitting, we feel like giving up, then we need to fix our eyes on Jesus. Now, for a lot of us, when we're struggling or going through something difficult, what we want is comfort. We want somebody to just come up and wrap their arms around us and tell us, it's okay, I'm here for you, I'm going to go with you, and we'll get through this together. But sometimes what we need is not so much comfort, it's just courage. It's courage to stand up. It's courage to move forward. It's courage to do what God wants us to do. It's courage to keep progressing in the direction He wants us to give. Sometimes it's just courage not to give up. And so that's the challenge in this whole series, to have courage. But you know, just telling somebody to have courage is like telling somebody to just feel better. Somebody's sick and you walk up to them and they say, oh, I'm just not doing good today. I'm not feeling very well. And you say, just feel better. That's all you need to do is just feel better. Well, you haven't helped them much, I can tell you. Because you're telling them to feel better is not really going to help them a whole lot at all. And that's the way it is sometimes when we're going through life and people are struggling and we could say, well, just have courage. And they're going, yeah, how does that help me? How does that get me where I need to go? How does that help me do what I need to do? And so maybe the question we need to ask is this. Where does courage come from? How is it that as Christians we can be courageous and bold in our stand for the Lord? Courageous and bold in our moving and doing what He wants us to be? Well, here's where courage comes from. And this is one you may want to write down someplace because this is really what we're going to talk about today. Courage comes from confidence. Courage comes from confidence. But catch this. Our courage is only as strong and as real as the legitimacy of our confidence. So the Hebrew writer is talking about Christians. And he's telling them to be confident. And really, that is the theme of the whole book, is be confident. But where is our confidence? Our confidence is in the supremacy of Christ. Because Jesus is better. Our confidence is in Jesus, therefore we can have courage. So just telling somebody, take heart, be courageous. If there's no confidence to back it up, it's not very effective, not very beneficial. It's kind of like giving somebody $100,000 of Monopoly money and said, now go shopping, go buy whatever you want. And they take your Monopoly money and they go out and they start shopping and they fill their basket. Then they get up to the cash register and they get ready to pay and they pull out this Monopoly money. What do you think the person behind the cash register is going to do? Well, after they quit laughing, they're just going to go, forget it. That's not any good. That stuff's not worth anything. That's the way some people are when it comes to confidence. They may have all the confidence in the world, but where is their confidence? And so when we say take courage, we're talking about taking courage in someone. We're talking about putting our faith in someone. You know, it's not a matter of listening to the Rocky soundtrack and getting all built up, you know, and going and doing what you're supposed to do. No. Sometimes it is a matter of just stepping back and being quiet and seeking the Lord's face and asking Him, God, what do you want me to do? Sometimes it's a matter of stopping and reading scriptures and just going through and asking the Lord, Lord, what is it today that I need to hear and that I need to learn? What is it today that you want to point out to me? So the word confidence appears a number of times in these chapters that we're looking at in Hebrews chapter 10 through 13. And confidence is a confidence in the supremacy of Christ. that Jesus is better. Don't give up because our Lord is better. It's not a confidence in ourselves. It is a confidence in who Jesus is and what he did for us and what he is going to do for us. And so the writer of the book of Hebrews, in writing to Christians in his day, is saying the same thing to them that we need to hear today. Be confident, but that confidence needs to be in Jesus. So in chapter 10, the writer in verse 32 reminds them of the kind of courage and confidence they once had. Here's what he says about them in the past. He says, remember those early days after you received the light? In other words, remember when you first became Christians, you first became followers of Jesus? He says, you endured great conflict, full of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. He's reminding them, remember those days? They were not easy days. They were tough. There were some hard things you had to go through. But in the midst of those, you were confident. Why? Because your confidence was in Jesus Christ. You stood strong and firm because of who Christ was and because of your relationship with him. So he says, don't throw away your confidence. Don't throw it away. Now is not the time to shrink back. Now is not the time to look the other way. Now is the time to stand and be strong and be confident like you were in the beginning. And so for some of us right here, I know that there are some tough things you're going through. There's some hard things going on in your life. There's some things that are changing that sometimes you don't always like the change and the direction it's going, but you can stand firm and strong and be confident, not because of yourself, but because of Jesus Christ. In other words, it is confidence in a person that allows us to move and do what we need to do, not confidence in me. But you know, I think there are a lot of ways we throw away our confidence. I think there are a lot of things that we do, even though we know everything that I just said, and we believe those, and we know them to be facts. There are a lot of things that we do to throw away our confidence. And so this morning, I want us to talk about some of those. And in talking about them, hopefully it will help us to avoid those things that we oftentimes do. Here's one of them. We consider our circumstances rather than considering Christ. I think there are times in our life where we look around at our circumstances and what's going on and what's happening and the things that are taking place around us. And our circumstances begin to pull us down. You know, every week in this series, really what we've done is we've looked at a passage or a phrase from these verses in chapter 12, and they all come back to one thing. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Look to him. Fix your eyes on the Lord. Keep your eyes focused on him. The third verse in this little section we're looking at today says, consider him. Consider Jesus. What does that mean? Look at him. Fix your eyes on him. Focus on him. Make sure that you are looking to him. When you're frustrated, focus your eyes on Jesus. When things aren't going the right direction, focus your eyes on Jesus. When you seem to have no hope, focus your eyes on Jesus. When you are just at a loss, focus your eyes on Jesus. When things don't turn out the way that you think they should turn out, focus your eyes on Jesus. When your job, your marriage, your kids, none of those are going exactly the way that you would like to see them go, what? Focus your eyes on Jesus. You getting the point? Sometimes what we do is we consider our circumstances rather than considering Christ. The word consider here, I think, has a couple of different meanings. One of them, as you would obviously assume, is the meaning to contemplate or to think about. And that's a good application of this, to think about Jesus, to think about who he is, to think about what he's done, to think about all the things that he does for you. And as you contemplate and you think about Jesus, it gives you courage to move on and go on and do all those things because you know that he understands what you're going through. He understands what's happening right now. And he also has the power to change your circumstances. You know, we're leading up to Easter here pretty quick in just a month or so. It's the 21st of April this year. And as we move up to Easter, we begin to think about Jesus and what he did for us, especially when he died on the cross. And as we consider, we contemplate, we think about his death, his burial, and his resurrection. We think about what that means to us. And rightfully so. We should consider it. But I also think consider has another definition. It could be translated to compare. Consider means to compare. So to compare is the idea that you're going through some tough things, and guess what? Jesus understands. You can look at your life. You can look at his life. You can compare some of those things, and it helps you get a different perspective. I was reading a story by the name of Joe Lee. That was his name. He ran a 150-mile ultra marathon. Now, that in itself is a feat, if you ask me. But you know where he ran the marathon? In the Sahara Desert. It makes me thirsty just to think about walking in the Sahara Desert, much less running a 150-mile marathon in the Sahara Desert. In this 150-mile marathon, he kept running and running and running. It wasn't too long before that his wife Allison, it would have been about a year that his wife Allison passed away of cancer. And the reason he was running in this marathon was to raise money for the American Cancer Society. And so after the first day, it would take him 4 days to complete the race. After the first day, a number of runners had to be airlifted out of the Sahara Desert because they couldn't take it anymore. Around the 80th mile of the race, because of the heat, the soles of his shoes actually blew apart. But he kept running. He kept going forward. His feet became blistered. Every step was painful. But at the end of the 4 days, he finished the race, and they came and they asked him, "How did you do it? How did you keep running? Not only the heat and the lack of water and the dehydration, but, you know, your shoes came apart and you didn't have everything that you needed. How did you do it?" Here was his answer. He said, "I thought about Allison a lot, and this is nothing compared to what she went through." You see, sometimes when we compare, we get a whole different perspective on things. Sometimes when we compare what we're going through and what Jesus has gone through or what others have gone through, we get a whole different approach. You see, we find courage when we compare. So when it says consider, sometimes it's a matter of stopping and considering what Jesus has done, considering what he went through. Have you ever filled out the NCAA brackets? I mean, March Madness is coming on, you know, guys. And so sometimes you'll get the brackets and you'll look at the teams and you'll start filling out the brackets. Do you know what you do when you fill out those brackets? You look at the first bracket and the two teams are playing and you say, which is the best? You compare those teams. You write that name down. You do that all the way down. Then you go to the next bracket over. And you say, okay, these two are going to win, so which are the best of these two? And you fill that all the way down. All through that, you're comparing the two teams until you get down to the one that you say is going to win the NCAA College Basketball Championship of the Year. Isn't that right? All through that, you're comparing teams. You know, we can do the same thing in the Christian life and do it right. We can do it comparing everything else to Jesus. It's exactly what the Hebrew writer did. I mean, look at this whole book. He talks about who's better, Jesus or the prophets. Obviously, it's Jesus. Who's better, Jesus or Moses? Well, Jesus is better. Who's better, Jesus or Joshua? Jesus is better. Who's better, the angels or Jesus? Jesus is better. Who's better, the old covenant or Jesus and the new covenant that he brought in? Jesus is better. Who's better, Jesus or my past failures? Jesus is better. Who's better, Jesus or my current challenges? Jesus is better. Which is better, Jesus or my future? Jesus is better. Which is better, Jesus or my fears? You get the point? We can compare anything to Jesus, and he is always better. There's a second way I think we throw away our confidence sometimes. We confess, or we confuse confidence in ourselves with confidence in Christ. Sometimes I think we get the two confused a little bit. I don't think it's our purpose. I don't think it's our intention to do that. But we are so taught in the Western world to look inside ourselves, to look at ourselves and our own courage and our own abilities, and we look inside ourselves to find courage. I mean, you've heard that before. You know, just dig deep, deep inside. That's what you need to do. And so that's what we do. There's a website, a dating website. And on that website, it asks its users a lot of questions, survey questions. One of the questions that it asks is this: are you a genius? Now, statistics tell us that really about one in every 1,000 people would be classified as a genius if they took the test. And so they ask on this survey, are you a genius? It's interesting that there was one sex over the other that said yes more often the other. Now, I won't tell you whether it's the guys or the gals that said yes more often. But of this group, 5 out of 10 of the guys, 5 out of 10 of the folks said that they were geniuses. And so they filled it out on the survey that way. Half of them. You know why? Because we've been taught. You know, rely on yourself. Look into yourself. Get courage. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I tell you what, a lot of times when we're honest with ourselves, we have to look at ourselves and go, it's not me. I can't do it. I don't have the ability. There's no way I can overcome this. And I have to look someplace else. Sometimes I believe we confuse confidence in ourselves with confidence in Christ. And that is the humanistic approach that's being taught today. And some of us realize that. Maybe it's even why you're here today. Because your confidence is being tested. And you need to say, where do I need to turn? What do I need to do? Where can I look? Sometimes your confidence in the things around you, it's being tested. And you go, how am I going to get through this? And if you're honest with yourselves, you go, I don't have the ability to do this. But it's in those times that you put your confidence in Christ. It's those times you put your confidence in the Lord. Probably most of you heard this week on the news, because it was on the news multiple times, that there was a girl in Mason. Her name was Sable Gibson, who passed away. Did you hear about that on the news this week? She was 10 years old. She had the strep throat and had the flu, which for most of us, we wouldn't think that was any big deal. The flu, strep throat, I mean, we'll take kids to the doctor, you know, if they get really bad, the fever gets high enough, but it's really not that big a deal. Scott and Holly Gibson are Sable's parents, and so when Sable began to get sick, they took her to the doctor. Actually, the doctor sent her home, and then later on, they took her back and admitted her into the hospital. She went into cardiac arrest on Tuesday, and then she passed away on Wednesday. Actually, Scott and Holly are good friends of ours. Charles knows them very well. Scott was Charles' boss for quite a while. Scott worked for my dad at Mason Christian Village. He was the head of maintenance at Cincinnati Christian University. And Dad needed someone to work in maintenance at Mason Christian Village. And so he got a hold of Scott and said, Scott, I've got this job. Are you interested? And Scott said, yes. And he came to Mason Christian Village and he started working. And Dad really mentored Scott, took him through the AIT, which is Administrator in Training Program. Scott got his administrator license, and now he is working in administration of multiple retirement facilities in the Cincinnati area and around this area. Great Christian family. I mean, just a fantastic Christian family. But this week, their 10-year-old daughter got the flu, strep throat, and passed away on Wednesday evening. You know, when you look at that kind of thing happening in life, it blows your confidence, let me tell you. We went and saw them yesterday, Mom and Gail and I. Charles was there yesterday and stopped to see them, just to support them. And I mean, there was a line, I mean, hundreds and hundreds, maybe even by the end, thousands of people came just to be there. But you know, in the middle of all that, in the middle of the sadness, in the middle of everything that's going on, they were still confident in their faith. They had a foundation, and they have a foundation that allows them to stand. You see, if you do that by yourselves, if you're relying on your own confidence and courage, there's no way you'll make it through that. But relying upon the Lord, you can walk through it. The Hebrew writer says this, "Now look, Jesus is better than your failures." And he goes on to say, "We have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body. Look to him, not to yourself, for your confidence." Verse 21 goes on to say, "And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance, full confidence that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water." Don't rely upon yourself. Look to him. There's a third way I think sometimes we kind of get our confidence out of whack. A third thing that robs us of our confidence, and that is a guilty conscience. Jesus, through the shedding of his blood, he dealt with our failures. He dealt with our things that go on in our life that we just wish didn't, our failures. But he makes them okay. He deals with our inability sometimes to resist the devil. And so we approach God's throne of grace with courage. Be courage because of what Jesus has done for us. A confidence in him. And if you look at that little phrase, "take heart." You know, that little phrase is the opposite of losing heart. It is standing firm and strong. That little phrase shows up a lot of times in the Old Testament. It also shows up many times in the New Testament. Just take heart. Be courageous. Stand firm. Stand strong. Why do we do that? How can we do that? Because of Jesus Christ. I love what the writer says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. It says that God will never leave us or forsake us. And then in verse 6, it reminds us this. It says, "It's because that's true that we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, and I will not be afraid." No matter what, stand strong, stand firm. Be confident, not in yourself, not in your ability, not in the things around you, but be confident in the Lord. Verse 33 goes on to say, "I have said all these things that you should have peace." You know, when you realize where your courage comes from, where your confidence lies, where your strength is, then you don't have to worry about it anymore. You don't have to stand on your own two feet all by yourself. You can stand in the courage and the confidence of the Lord and have peace. So the Hebrew writer kind of ends this little thing with this verse, verse 35. He says, "Don't throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded." You know, the day is coming when we finish the race, when we've done everything God has called us to do. Whether we are 10 years old or we're 110 years old, doesn't make any difference. God has called us to serve him. And if we stand in confidence and courage and confidence in him, then we will not throw it away, but we will stand forever. Run the race. Finish the race. Because there is a reward that waits for all of us. Pray with me. God, I thank you that our confidence today is in you. And I know, Lord, that there are plenty of folks in this room who came in and their confidence is a little bit shaken, maybe because of some things that they're going through in life. And they thought they were strong and they thought everything was good. And to be honest, they probably looked down on some people who came to places like this in their life and said, "How come they're not standing better?" But when the reality hits us, the realization hits us, that we don't have what it takes, we have to look to you. But help us always to look to you. Help us always to put our faith and our trust in you, because you give us freely. And so help us to put our confidence in you so that we can have courage to run the race that you've called us to. And I know that there are a lot of us, even in this room, that are tired. And we pray that you give us strength. Strength before we leave here even today to stand and do the things that you want us to do, you've called us to do. Strength to be your people, called by your name, and to stand strong and firm, because truly, every moment of the day, every hour of the day, we need you. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Stand up as we sing and close this morning by singing, "I Need Thee Every Hour," because it's so very true. We need Him in our lives every day. I need Thee every hour, and every single day. I need the strength and power you give me when I pray. I need you, oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. Without you I'm alone. I want to be your own. I need thee every hour to stay close by my side. I take it on my own. I need another guide. I need you, oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. Without you I'm alone. I want to be your own. That's true, isn't it?